Welcome to the Scare Guy Show. This week we have two big topics to discuss. First, we are doing a rundown of some of the best horror movie film locations that you can visit, and a lot of us have. And secondly, we are going to debate, is TV horror dead, or is it still killing?
Or is it undead?
Is it breathing life? All right, this week on the Scare Guy Show, stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
All right. What do you guys think? New theme song?
I like this theme song.
I like it.
Yeah.
We'll have to use it a little bit more. Welcome to the Scare Guy Show.
Sam, we've got to keep hunting things and saving people, Sam.
Where we cover everything from horror conventions, slasher movies, to your favorite haunted attractions. We're your go-to source for everything that's scary fun. I am Jim. I'm your managing editor. And we have a lot of other people in the room that are just as excited as I am.
Hi, I'm Derek. I'm a contributor to theconguy.com and an occasional guest here.
I wish I was in the band, but I'm just Jake Thomas, writer, filmmaker, and big horror enthusiast.
I'm digging this music. It's just keeping going. I like it. My name is Ben, and I am not drunk. No, Ben Cleaver.
He's very sad about that.
Very sad. Ben Cleaver, actor, comedian, con enthusiast, and regular contributor here on the show, and occasional contributor on the website. You can find me on social media at Ben Cleaver, BenKleewer.
Yeah.
And I'm Cheeseman on the couch being watched by my dad hiding in the corner, so I'm on my best behavior tonight, and I'm with ScareGuy.com.
The best part I can say right now is that we can all hear the music in our headphones that's playing on the podcast right now. But Cheese's dad can't hear anything but us talking. What's going on?
And Papa Cheese. We call him Papa Cheese.
His name is Anakin Cheeseman.
He is on East Coast time, so he's barely awake right now.
Yeah.
And you guys have had like a crazy, crazy couple of days anyways.
We have. We've been to Disneyland. I got this nice little Indiana Jones hat.
Nice.
Doesn't quite fit this show. Could be a Freddy hat, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I don't know.
It's terrible.
But he's also responsible for getting me into a lot of the fandom type stuff. We watched the old 60s Batman and Robin together, so I'm wearing my old school Adam West Batman shirt in tribute.
That's kind of cool.
He did also take me to Jurassic Park. I almost wore that hat.
The movie or the island?
Both.
Costa Rica, huh?
He did take me to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Have an island off the coast of Costa Rica.
Speaking about locations, that's one of the big topics we will be discussing tonight. So tonight we're going to go over three things. First, we're going to go over a rundown of some of the conventions coming up. I'm hoping Derek can help me with that part.
I can read. Yes.
He can read. He's just like any other newscaster. And then secondly, we are going to be talking about a lot of the cool locations that people can still visit. Most of the locations we'll be talking about are kind of classic horror films that have, you know, been through the ages. And everybody
stood the test of time.
Stood the test of time.
The ones you watch every Halloween, every October.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
The go-tos, the must-haves, the must-watches.
If you're into that kind of thing.
And Derek is going to suffer through this. I love it when Derek comes on because he's kind of like the guinea pig.
Kind of, I guess.
And then on the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about whether or not horror on television really is thriving or not. Whether it seems like there's been a lot of changes, a lot of things have been going on, and so that's what we will talk about. And in that vein, I'm going to say that our very good friend Katie,
KT Christine. Katie's Fairy Tale is all her cosplay stuff.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, she is feeling under the weather tonight. Otherwise, she would have been with us. She did text in a little bit of something, an opinion or here. But Katie also sent us a very cool photo. And wait. One more person to introduce. Our engineer extraordinaire, Steve.
Hey, what up, y'all?
Hey, Steve.
How we do?
We are doing good.
Star.
All right. Guys, isn't that an awesome graphic we have for the show tonight? I'm enjoying that.
I like it.
All right. But we also, hey, Steve, I don't know if...
Can I be the house in that graphic?
There is another graphic that Katie sent in from Universal Studios. I think we might have that one. Yes, right there.
Ooh.
So if we can take a look at that, for those of you who are listening, what we are looking at is, Katie sent this to me last week, Universal Studios has created a giant mural on their back lot of the classic movie monsters.
It's very artistic.
But they've done it very, very contemporary. Like, if you look at them, it's a contemporary artist, I forgot what the guy's name is, but he's adding all kinds of, like, commentary and different crazy rock and roll imagery within the classic movie monsters.
It's like scenes from each of those movies on their faces incorporated into the coloring of it. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah, it's really
that
neat.
That is what that is. If you are listening only, go to theconguy.com. We will be posting this picture. Man, that looks awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That looks so great. I love that they have the creature from the Black Lagoon up there. They have Dracula, the Bride of Frankenstein, Frankenstein's monster.
Wolfman.
Yeah, it's awesome. So anyways, we'll put that on our website for you guys to take a look. But one reason why this makes me super excited is because there's been talk that the reboot of the classic movie monsters from Universal kind of went a little bit down. You know, kind of went on the bye-bye. But, Jake?
But is Blumhouse doing, like, low-budget?
Yes.
Gonna come and be like, let's go small. Let's not make it huge, expensive. Mommy, let's go nice, soft, little, like, yeah.
Invisible Man.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the Invisible Man is the new reboot.
Yes.
And talk about an inexpensive monster. The one you can't see is a great place to start.
The Invisible Man was great in that movie.
Yeah.
So
Jesus' dad is essentially the Invisible Man on our show tonight.
He's actually right beside me.
Yeah.
You know, they should get him to host the Oscars next year. The Invisible Man.
He couldn't do any... Yes, he could do worse, but...
No, the Oscars were great without a host. I thought it was fine.
Real quick, what did you guys think?
It was certainly faster without a host.
I know, right? Only by 12 minutes.
Well, still.
Yeah, so.
No, I got the biggest laugh out of the press release that went out this morning from the Oscars. Mm-hmm. The new faster Oscars, 12 minutes faster. I'm like, really? Right. It was instead of 3 minutes and 22 seconds.
That is progress.
I mean, 22 minutes. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyways,
No horror representation.
I know, I was kind of bummed about that.
Not like Shape of Water or any of this.
Yeah, I mean, Guillermo was...
There was no Get Out this year.
Guillermo was a presenter, so...
Yeah, you got that.
Yeah, you got that.
Black Klansman's kind of horrific. No! I mean, the story.
The concept of the Ku Klux Klan is horrific.
That's pretty horrific. Yeah. I didn't need the story. I don't want Spike Lee to go running out of the back of the theater on me now.
Right.
That was crazy. All right, let's go ahead and get started. First... topic, bulletin board. These are some of the big conventions that you guys can get involved with.
Yeah, so coming up March 8th to 10th is Monster Mania Con in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And the week after that, March 15th to 17th, is Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Which is one of the biggest in the country. It's huge.
They're going to have a lot of chili at that one.
Cincinnati,
Skyline Chili.
Skyline Chili. Cheese, you know all about that. That's your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Folks at home, put chili on noodles and sit back and enjoy. It's great.
We were talking about that recently. Was
Cincinnati
it a patty?
Treat.
A little bit sweet. Yep.
It's either five-way or three-way. Your dad was educating us in the car. Five-way or three-way. Three-way is...
It is chili, cheese, and noodles.
All right.
But lots of cheese. With a five-way, adds onion and beans. But I think with the four-way, it could either be the onion or the bean. So
we're losing viewers. Come on.
We are not. Look up Skyline Chili. You could probably order cans to your home.
So, you could do that and Horror Hound Weekend.
Yes.
March 15th to 17th in Cincinnati. And then the following weekend, March 22nd to 24th, is Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida. And then April 6th is Spook Show 7, which is Los Angeles Halloween Club near Disneyland.
I was very sad to see that one of the Halloween clubs is closing. You know, there's two or three of them along the highway down towards Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I think they're all part of the big whatever. One of the warehouses is closing, so that was kind of sad.
Yeah. And then April 14th is Monsterpalooza in Pasadena.
Ah. Who is that?
Me.
Oh.
Monsterpalooza.
All right. So there's an event here also that is kind of interesting. And Jake, you were
asking. This does sound cool.
I was, because I was like, I like scary movies experience. Is what it's called. The Desmond in Los Angeles. First, for those that don't know, where is the Desmond?
It's on Wilshire Boulevard.
It's on great. Wilshire. All right. Yeah. So
it's actually right down the street from where Brie works.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. I don't know what the Desmond is.
It's just an old, like, Art Deco building.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's like an old office building. I used to go to meetings, like, these, like, actor meeting things there that met there once a week.
Oh, I do know that.
I think I do know
that. That'd be a great place to have something, especially harkening back to the Universal Monster
stuff. So what is the event?
Anyway, so the phrasing here is a groundbreaking immersive art installation, which intrigues me. Because now I'm wondering, like, ooh, how inexpensive are these tickets if it's an art installation?
I know.
I'd love to go. That is a true celebration of some of the most beloved horror films. The Shining, The Overlook Hotel, Beetlejuice's Graveyard, The Netherworld Waiting Room, Freddy's Boiler Room, Lost Boys, Pennywise, all these things are kind of representing. It sounds like you're going to be able to walk through it, and they have more information at their Instagram at I Like Scary Movies Experience.
That's correct. And it sounds like these are Warner Brothers movies.
There's a few in there. You got Shining. You got Beetlejuice. You got Lost Boys. You got Fred. Yeah, they're all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some of them are probably, I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street, at least.
New Line Cinema.
Warner Brothers owns now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's going to be, and I was reading the comments. They also have a Facebook page, and they did say that it's not going to be jump scares. It's not like a haunted attraction.
Again. Mm-hmm. Ooh. This sounds more interesting.
Yeah. So they said you can bring your kids if they can take this kind of stuff.
Sure.
Bring your creepy twin kids.
Yeah. They'll fit right in.
All right.
So I hope we have twins someday just for that purpose.
Speaking of twins.
You're looking right at me when you said that.
No, I meant, yeah, sorry. I hope you and your wife have twins.
I hope we have twins.
I hope my wife and I have twins.
I don't wish that on anybody. So speaking of horror
films. Time saver.
Speaking of horror film locations and celebrating them, the next part of our show, we are going to be talking about some of the top locations across the country that you guys can, that all of us can go visit. And I've been at a number of these. I'm a big junkie when it comes to visiting horror film locations. It's one of my favorite things to do. So, with that further ado, let's go ahead and talk about perhaps some of the California-based ones first, because a big part of our audience is here in California. And I know, Cheeseman, you have visited a number of these. What's the big location in Southern California that we hit like every year?
Halloween.
The original Halloween. Where can we see all the locations from Halloween?
Well, we have put a video on YouTube that you could watch that we've collected some of the highlight. We haven't quite hit them all, but we did hit a bunch of them, and like such as the Laurie Strode house, the Michael Myers house, the houses where that she was babysitting, where Laurie Strode, the two that are across each other right there in Hollywood. Which you'd be surprised, it's so close to Hollywood, but like it's just. Awesome.
It's cool. I can't talk right now. A lot of them are in. He just got done with a day of skiing. So
yeah, it's been a long day. I didn't even know I was going to be on the show.
So. Wait, where were you skiing?
Mount Baldy.
And you came all the way back down.
Yeah. And then I stuffed myself with Korean barbecue, and then
that's my mind smelling right now.
Yeah, you're smelling.
What else would you do on a Monday?
Yeah, exactly. Well, can't fit anything else in.
Other than Casa Vega.
But like most of the locations from Halloween are in two locations. South Pasadena, which is, I think I have the exact location, the Strode House, the Myers House, the cemetery, the Hedges. They're all.
Well, the cemetery is actually Sierra Madre.
Yep, Sierra Madre is the cemetery that you know where the big tombstone that says Sinclair on it.
Now, these are real houses.
These are real houses.
With real people
that
reside in them. To date, currently.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, so.
You head on down to South.
Lake Hollywood is where he escaped, right?
Right.
Where they pulled up to the gate at the beginning.
But for most part, if most people, for the uninitiated, go to South Pasadena, get on your phone and just, well, no, look at theconguy.com or thescareguy.com.
We'll post this on the show link, right?
Yeah, we're going to link out to this, but also just go to our site and search for Halloween Tour. And we take you through all the South Pasadena stops and some of the Hollywood stops. Now, what's cool about the Hollywood stop is very, very close to another iconic 1984 horror movie from Warner Brothers.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Over there in 1428 North Genesee Avenue is the Nancy House.
I think Genesee.
Is it Genesee?
That's how we always pronounce it. I live a few blocks away from Genesee, so.
Well, I'm going to defer to you because.
I think that's how I've heard it pronounced.
How did you say, Jim? Genesee?
Genesee.
Genesee.
I think it's a soft G.
So what's
Genesee?
It's cool because it looks exactly like it did in 1984. The owners have kept it. They have the. They have a. Did they have a red door in the movie?
For Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah,
I forget. But one of the most amazing scenes involving that house is actually from New Nightmare, Wes Craven's New Nightmare. It's when the actress Heather Blankenship runs out of her house and then turns around and suddenly she's in the movie.
I love that.
Yeah, that's the super meta one. But that was that scene. I'd be like, oh my gosh! But I think it was red. Yeah, with all these houses, things like. The fact that they preserve it is so nice because so many times what you find is when people buy a house and lo and behold, it's an iconic landmark.
Like Full House.
They get a lot of visitors and then they get eventually tired of the visitors and they plant a big shrub somewhere or change the paint so people are deterred away. Yep. Or like the Brady Bunch house, they start.
I was about to say that. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
They changed the whole facade.
They changed, but I guess they're adding a fake second story now to go back to what it looked like on TV because there's a fake second
there's
story.
There's a redo. It's the Brady kids have come back to redo the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like HGTV or somebody bought it. There was this crazy bidding war and like Lance Bass was trying to buy it to restore it. And then like, one of those
the
channels.
The thing that's cool about the Strode house from Halloween Halloween and the Nightmare on Elm Street house is that the neighbors have kind of embraced it. Like, for example, across the street, I mean, right next door to the Strode house in South Pasadena, during Halloween, the neighbors put Michael Myers in the window staring at the Strode house, which is nice. Really cool. I thought that's great. And on the porch of the Strode house, they have pumpkins, and they encourage you to come up and grab a pumpkin and take a picture on the famous stoop where Jamie Lee Curtis is out front.
I think it's only been stolen once, if at all, right?
What?
The pumpkins.
Yeah, the people usually leave them there.
People have been super chill about it.
Really super chill. And then the Nightmare on Elm Street house across the street is the house where Johnny Depp's character was killed.
Ooh.
It's kind of across and a little bit off to the left.
Mm-hmm. And, waterbed.
And during Halloween, they put a silhouette of Freddy Krueger up there in the window like he's killing somebody. So it's really fun the way they do that. All right, this next house, I am wearing the T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Does it say Timberline on my shirt?
It says Overlook Hotel.
Okay, same
Sidewinder,
thing.
Sidewinder, Colorado.
All right, so Timberland Lodge is from The Shining. It's at 27500 East Timberland Road, Government Gamp, Oregon. That is the place where Stanley Kubrick filmed the exterior for the movie, right? Yes. Although Stephen King's inspiration was for the Stanley Hotel was
the
in
Stanley Hotel.
Oh, it was the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. So they are a little bit different.
Which I've been to.
Stanley?
I've been to the Stanley in, I believe it's in Estes Park.
Yeah.
Which was also the hotel in Aspen that they stay at in Dumb and Dumber.
I didn't know that.
Really?
And they shot the remake of The Shining.
At the Stanley?
At the Stanley. Or the exteriors of it, at least.
The TV version?
The TV version, yeah.
I wonder where they're shooting the sequel. It's probably not based up there, though.
Yeah.
Has anybody read the book? Dr. Sleep?
Mm-mm.
All right. This next one is kind of obscure because most people have not seen the movie The Fog. It was John Carpenter's second movie after Halloween. He made this movie before he made Halloween 2. Anyways, Point Reyes Lighthouse is located in Inverness, California, and it is open, and it's very hard to see because it's always shrouded in fog. I mean, it's what it's known for. All right. We were talking before about this next
one. Well, this one is pretty much preserved exactly how it appears on film. And it's appeared in a lot of other stuff. But the Psycho House, probably the most famous landmark on the Universal Studios backlot. Mm-hmm. So if you visit the theme park, we take the backlot tour, you will see the Psycho House and the Bates Motel.
Yes.
And probably a murder take place.
And it's cool during Halloween Horror Nights while you're there. You can get a picture taken with it.
Yeah, with Norman Bates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, they often have an actor playing Norman Bates on the regular tour anyway. Sometimes they'll come out and just chase the tram car a little bit or something.
Speaking of Universal backlot.
Oh, yeah. So
who else?
Psycho is just one of, as we were talking about earlier, many, many of the great monster movies and the great horror movies that they made back there. And a lot of those sets they made that were standing in for the Transylvanian villages and, like, the streets of Europe and Dracula or, like, the big square in Paris, France, where Quasimodo is whipped and flogged when he is, like, that's all still present there in the Universal backlot.
Is that the area that's now the Good Place?
Yes.
Some of it,
And adjacent to it, yeah.
Okay.
One place they haven't shown so much on that, but those European streets, yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. What about, I heard you guys discussing Gremlins before the show.
Oh, yeah, Gremlins. Gremlins filmed actually between a lot of the Universal backlot, and then a lot of the houses in Gremlins were the Warner Brothers backlot. So they went back.
Oh, really?
It was shared. So with Universal, it was that same town square that you see as Hill Valley in the Back to the Future movies.
And the one house where the mean old lady gets thrown out the window.
Mrs. Deagle.
That's
right. Mrs. Deagle.
That's at Warner Brothers.
Her house is on the corner of Kings Row and Midwest Street on the Warner Brothers back lot.
Which we're going to be jumping into that. You know what? Since we are there, since we have crossed that bridge, Jake, could you tell us a little bit about the Warner Brothers backlot and what people could see there? What classic horror films?
Yeah, a lot of their stuff. I mean, if you like 80s nostalgia, you'd like the horror movies represented there because Gremlins is one. Shane Black did a little movie called Monster Squad back in the day.
Heard of it.
Yes. if you watch that movie, the entire third act climax is basically that same street where Mrs. Deagle lived and the Gremlins were running amok.
Oh, nice.
And later on, that same street was where Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, filmed. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
She's trying to come back on Netflix, by the way.
That makes sense.
Good for her.
The most recent one there was Annabelle Creation.
Which is super cool.
They filmed outside this little white chapel that's just standing there, which was also a location used for one of your favorites, The Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys, yes.
The Corys grab holy water from that church.
Yep.
Oh.
So, that's very cool.
Lots of stuff like in that pocket right there, lots of stuff.
There's even... wasn't there a scene from The Exorcist was filmed somewhere on that lot? I may be wrong.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much location shooting.
That's just movie lore.
But that's one of the locations you have here that we can see around L.A.
Oh, what's
no, sorry, not L.A.
Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's
yeah, Washington,
D.C.
Yeah.
Which is where The Exorcist takes place.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Georgetown.
Yeah, the famous steps.
I know the book, not the
movie. Famous steps towards the end of The Exorcist. Is this a spoiler warning? Can we just talk? Oh, there's a famous scene on those steps behind The Exorcist.
Let's say that much.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
That
is it a spoiler for a movie that came out in the early 70s?
1973. I don't know. And Rob Lowe recently posted an Instagram photo of him taking a run up those steps, you know, exercising. Nice. It's kind of cool. This next
Rob Lowe showing off again.
You know what? I was talking the other day.
I'm in my 50s.
I know, for crying out loud. He looks like he's
look
still
at how great
22.
I look.
22. But like he's becoming one of those people like an Adam West or a, you know, the people who become
a caricature of themselves.
Yeah. William Shatner. Rob Lowe is about to become that.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. But his is really likable.
Hey man, lean into it, I say.
Yeah.
That's if you're making a career out of it, go for it.
All right, one of my favorite movies. This is who directed this? This was Brian De Palma directed the original Carrie.
Yes, that's De Palma.
De Palma, which I think is one of the best horror movies ever made, and it's not true horror all the way through. It's just such a drama and such a tragedy. But the gym scene was actually filmed down in what is now the Hermosa Beach Community Center, the exterior, because they recreated the interior on a stage, of course, but the exteriors were down in Hermosa Beach, which is, by the way, you can still go visit. All these places we're telling you, for the most part, you can visit. You got to pay for some of them.
Some of them.
Yeah.
If it's an enclosed private property studio lot, then you have to pay some money.
And if it is somebody's house, please do not be bothering people. Don't go up in the front porch and knock and
And wear a mask while you're doing it. Don't do that.
Oh, my.
Fun fact, De Palma, while casting Carrie, held auditions the same time as director George Lucas while casting Star Wars.
Oh.
So it was a lot of the same people reading back and forth for those movies.
That's fantastic.
Can you imagine if, like, Sissy Spacek and Carrie Fisher had been switched?
Swapped out, yeah.
Another
There's another fringe thing where
There's a parallel universe.
Parallel universe, yeah, where that happened.
Yeah.
Another little piece about Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back was filming on the same stages as The Shining.
That's true.
Yep. Mm. And Stanley Kubrick came over to observe how the snow was being made in Empire Strikes Back, because he was very interested in that. And he used the same technique in The Shining.
Which is why if you look carefully, you could see an AT-AT walker in the background.
I wouldn't put it past Kubrick to do something like that. All right. This next one is this one cracks me up. There is a particular movie which I've always wanted to see, which I have not, because it just sounds so stinking brutal. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm a big wimp. I'm going to see it this year. You've seen it, haven't you, Cheeseman?
Yeah, I've seen the original, and then I saw the
we remake. Should watch all 17 of them. That'll be a fun weekend.
I did see the weird part 2 or 3 with McConaughey in it or something. Like me and my friend.
Literally,
Jake,
there's
to laugh
like
at
there's the
these.
Original, and then there's 4 different sequels to the original, except they're all different timelines. And then there was
you should
a
make
remake.
Your timeline thing with the Texas Chainsaw.
I should
Chainsaw.
Do
oh,
my,
yeah.
my flowchart for Texas yeah, Chainsaw Massacre. Totally.
But have you guys heard about what they've the famous gas station where they stop and they get directions and everything? It is no longer a gas station. It is now a horror themed barbecue joint. With the cabins out
something
in the back.
Just seems right about that.
I think it's genius. Yeah. I love that.
Our meat's so good, you'll get hooked.
Waka waka.
And I think the actual house, do I have it on? Yeah, the Sawyer,
yeah, the
house,
Sawyer house
is a restaurant called the Grand Central Cafe in Kingsland, Texas. The owner bought it and moved it piece by piece over there. And people are stopping by all the time to have their pictures taken. All right.
Nice.
What else do we have on the list?
Rosemary's Baby.
Hail Satan.
What?
I've seen that movie. Yeah.
That's a quote.
By the way, that's a quote from the film.
Yeah. Ben,
yeah, I guess that's also a quote from the film.
Yeah. who hailed Satan recently when he won that award?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
He thanked
yes.
Satan for inspiration for his role.
I think he was talking about Dick Cheney, though. I mean, in his mind.
He was making a joke.
I'm not being political here.
He wasn't literally thanking Satan. I think he meant it as a joke, yes.
And people thought he was being, like, supporting the Church of Satan. I'm like, come on,
no,
people.
I don't think
take
that's
the joke.
Where he was
you know, the Church
that.
Of Satan doesn't even believe in Satan.
I know.
Anyway, where were we with that?
But now they're getting
Rosemary's
free publicity,
Baby.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Rosemary's
the Bramford.
Baby.
If you're in New York City, go to the Bramford, and you, too, can see the Spawn of the Devil. Well, not the Spawn of the Devil, but where they filmed that classic horror film.
Hail Satan!
And also something else very, very bad happened at the Brantford Hotel. Yeah, John Lennon was shot there.
Yeah.
So it's very famous. But it's actually called the Dakota. It's the Dakota Apartments.
Oh, sorry.
It stood in for the Brantford. All right, this next one. Friday the 13th. This is kind of funny. Camp Crystal Lake was filmed at a camp called Camp Nobi Bosco. I'm sure I'm butchering that. It's a Boy Scout camp, and they still use it.
Did you write that out phonetically, or is that how they actually spell the name
the
of the
actual
camp?
Name on the sign.
Well, I'm sure it's short for like the Bosco is probably short for Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
And, like, Nobi, who knows?
Oh, I bet you it's North...
North Beach Boy Scout.
And they've had a couple of private events rented out for horror fans, and they sell out in seconds.
But they don't have very many because
they want to preserve the Boy Scoutness.
That would be
camp.
A cool sure. place. You go camp out, and in the middle of the night, they have somebody dressed as Jason dragging you out.
We should go scuba diving there, Luke.
We should.
You know,
see
they
if there's any deformed kids at the bottom of the lake.
Several Hosky masks.
You know they do that.
It's fun to see you look for
how am I going to end
this? Inappropriate
word. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But you know they do that in Griffith Park. They have the horror camp out where Jason shows up and drags you out of a tent.
That's right.
You have to sign all kind of waivers and stuff. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, there are some things I'm not going to do. Yeah.
Some things I'm just not going to do.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, this next house has gone to great lengths to conceal its identity, but it's not doing a very good job. The Amityville Horror was a sensation in 1979, I think that movie came out. Oh, it might have been earlier than that. It's late 70s, when all the good horror films
were.
The
only one of us who was alive then, I'm sorry.
No, there's somebody else in the room.
Yeah, but he's not with a
The
mic,
Invisible so. Man was alive.
This is true. Right.
Jim is over 700 years old.
Oh my gosh, no, I'm about to hit a big one. But we're not talking about that one. We're talking about the Amityville Horror, which was originally at 112 Ocean Avenue. That was one of the most famous addresses in the country during the time. These people, the Lutz family, were all over, not social media, I almost said social media, all over talk shows. They were making the circuit, and they convinced the entire country that they'd been chased out of this house by evil spirits within. It's up for debate whether that really happened. 1 year prior to them moving in, Ronald Defoe, is that his name? Ronald Defoe killed his entire family in that house, all six people. And so there's a lot of bad blood there. But the movie came out, and right now, if you would like to see it, it's now at 108 Ocean Avenue, so they didn't hide very well.
So wait. Did they film the movie at the actual house?
They did not.
Okay.
You know what?
So what is this location?
Oh, this is the actual real house!
This is the real house.
Yeah, so it's even better.
Where the events allegedly happened, where the murder and the alleged spirits
are. When you say better, do you mean more good?
Spookier.
Okay.
They should do the Real Housewives of the Amityville Horror. That would be an awesome show.
For the record, I messed up here. I should have found the location, because they did find a location in the same city where they filmed this. So,
You've really dropped the ball here, Jim.
All right.
I posit that this is actually a really good premise for a horror movie where people are hitting famous locations from horror films, and then they accidentally go to one that the real thing happened to, and bad things happen.
I want in on this. I want in on this project.
Down,
Jim and
line.
Luke, I want to write this
log line right now. Okay.
Log
all right.
Line.
Let's finish our list here, guys. We got
a
couple
even
more.
Joking. Copyright.
Night of the Living Dead. Who's seen it?
I have, yeah. That's classic.
Derek's actually seen this one.
Yeah.
Classic.
There was 1 year around Halloween, my sister and I, when we were both still living with my parents, we were like, hey, let's watch some old scary movies. You know, let's try and find some really old ones that are cheesy and won't be that scary. This did not fit that category, we found out as we were watching
it. Yeah.
It's a disturbing movie.
Yeah.
It was very creepy.
Yeah.
And
ahead of its time.
Yeah, since the copyright lapsed, actually, you can kind of see it anywhere. Because like it's all on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Like any streaming site would have it because they don't, you know, they could just host it. Yeah. So
and
definitely
so
check it out.
The place you can go check out the cemetery is north of, is it Pittsburgh?
Yes, Pittsburgh.
Yes.
That's the one from the beginning where the guy's like, they're coming for you.
There's like a house, a dilapidated house. There's a very tall tombstone that the lady with the blonde hair, she leans on it. She's running from the zombie behind her. Do they ever mention, did they say zombie? Yeah, they say zombies in this movie.
I don't think they do. They just say like dead people.
Yeah.
The dead are rising. The recently deceased seem to be rising.
Evans City Cemetery near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's on Franklin Road. All right. Let's skip the next one. We'll come back to that in a second, because the sort of sequel to Night of the Living Dead was Dawn of the Dead, which came out in 1978.
I should do a flow chart for the Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead movies, too. Yeah.
Can you include the Return of the Living Dead fork?
Yeah, like there will be... Was there like a... That, there's like four forks.
What was the
that
one that
series?
Came out around when we were in high school?
Oh, jeez.
No, that was another... No,
Snyder's
the,
remake?
The comedy one, right?
No. Are you talking Shaun of the Dead?
Shaun of the Dead.
That was later.
No. Dawn of the Dead remake did come out, I think.
Diary of the Dead?
School.
Land of the Dead.
There's a bunch of dead stuff.
Okay, thank you. Studio of the Dead.
This, by the way, Dawn of the Dead was my very first in-theater R-rated movie. My parents did not know I saw it, so my uncle took me to see this movie. I was with my cousin. We went in a station wagon to a drive-in theater. And we fell asleep on top of the car watching this movie, and he woke us up by sneaking out and grabbing our feet and shaking us. And I was terrified. Terrified. The very next day was Saturday. I got up on Saturday morning to watch Super Friends, and they had the episode of the zombies. And then I was like, it was such a terrible weekend. I have never recovered. Anyways.
Yeah, really, Jim? You're an easy scare? I didn't know that.
Oh, imagine that. Monroeville Mall outside Pittsburgh in Monroeville. Anyways, the one we skipped is right here in Southern California. One of my favorites. Anybody?
Poltergeist,
yes. Cheeseman, we've gone up to this one, haven't we? If you're watching...
No, we went to the E.T. house. I don't think we've gone to the Poltergeist.
It's in the same neighborhood, isn't it? Or kind of close.
They look very similar on screen.
Yeah.
I don't recall the Poltergeist one.
It's at four... I do know that they were both filmed the same summer by Steven Spielberg. Tobe Hooper was the director of Poltergeist, but it was very much a Spielberg film. Anyways, 4267 Roxbury Street in Simi Valley. You can go see the Freeling House. It did not get sucked into a little hole like they did at the end of the movie.
What? Oh, that's a relief.
Yep. All right. So just a couple more. My most favorite horror movie. Well, not really.
I feel like you've said that several times tonight already.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Go to Santa Cruz and relive the Lost Boys. The Santa Cruz Boardwalk. They have the merry-go-round. They have the cable car thing. They have
shirtless saxophone players slathered in oil.
He's in a
blasting that.
He's touring now with a group.
Good.
A group of vampires. I think
and maybe while you're in Santa Cruz, taking a sporting event featuring the local college banana slugs.
What are you talking about?
UC Santa Cruz. Their mascot is the banana slugs.
What?
Huh. UC Santa Cruz banana slugs. That's the mascot of their sports teams. Fun fact.
I feel like they missed some kind of opportunity there, but that's great.
Have you been to Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
It's drop out of the world type. It's awesome there. It's like, I mean, it sounds like I'm promoting something that I'm really not, but...
Jim loves drugs.
No, that's not what I was saying. No, I just like the whole laid-back feeling of that area. It's so great. All right.
But the rides there close early, at least at certain times of the year.
Because of the vampires.
Oh, he's talking about... Yep.
They don't want to be out. Sun goes down, vampires come out, man.
They have to. You can't have kids encouraged to be out after sunset.
And as we finish up, who saw the first season of American Horror Story?
Not me.
I did.
And did you like it?
Yes, I did.
And so what is our final item on the list?
The Murder House from American Horror Story season one. You can see it. And
where?
In 1120 Westchester Place.
Place, yep.
Yeah.
It's over in, like, in the middle part of Los Angeles. Yeah. It's just, they used it, the exteriors, but I think they did end up moving to an interior location.
I would imagine.
When you're filming inside of a house, it's usually better to shoot on a set, on a soundstage, instead of in an actual house, because you just don't have room for all the equipment.
And all of these locations will be listed on our website. We will try to link out to where you can find every single one of them. Remember, be polite if you do go chase down some of these places. If there's any other places that you guys know of, let us know. We would love to add to the list. Because
can they share pictures with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Send it
just,
to us.
Okay, don't harass anyone. If it's a house that people live in, don't pester them. I mean, maybe just drive by and you can take a photo of the house and then leave. Or if it's Halloween time and the people in the Halloween house have stuff set up where you can go take pictures on the porch, you know, then it's probably okay. But
don't go out there being an a-hole and be like, the con guy told me to do it.
Just say
ring the doorbell. Yeah. Go for it. I did not say that.
All right. Speaking
Cheese on the couch told me to do this. What are you talking about, man?
So the Murder House is not actually a movie. It's a TV show. So let's transition into the last part of our show. We're going to be talking about television
let's
shows.
Let's talk about this very quickly because we're almost out of time.
Yes.
I'm going
to throw it to you guys, and please discuss what do you think. Where are we at in television horror right now?
Well, it's, what, year 100 of The Walking Dead and year
Something
100?
Like like that.
I quit watching Dead a
yeah.
long time
okay.
ago.
Okay, who here has quit watching The Walking Dead?
I'm halfway up because it's filling up my DVR right
all
now.
All right, and who here has been a fan of Supernatural but isn't really watching that anymore either?
Now,
I watch it like every sixth episode.
Okay. I'm way behind, so I'm still only in season five of Supernatural, which is...
The original final season.
The original final season.
Seasons.
So I'm
still like fun to watch after that, but those were the best because that was Eric Kripke's original.
It had his original story structure,
progressive motion.
So I'm still a big Super Hulock guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
Super Hulock is a collection of fans who are fans of Supernatural, Doctor Who, and Sherlock.
Yeah. I have never heard that.
It's a thing. It's mostly made up of teenage girls.
Why those?
And me.
Why those three? It's because there's something really fun about them.
It seems
the leads are dreamy guys. The leads are dreamy.
Not anymore
bachelors.
On Doctor Who. No. Now it's a dreamy lady.
But I've also not finished the most recent series of Doctor Who, partly because I don't know, the DVR I was using just kind of sucked and deleted them.
Anyways,
but yeah, we'll like talk some about of these shows.
Yeah, Doctor Who, next show. But let me go through this list real quick. These are shows that were on and they were kind of like leading the charge on TV. The Originals, Z Nation, Teen Wolf, Vampire Diaries, Bates Motel. Love that show. Hannibal, Ash vs. Evil Dead, Channel Zero, The Exorcist series. So many shows have been canceled. And this is just a partial list.
I didn't realize Ash vs. Evil Dead was over.
Yeah.
Some of these were really strong and they just wrapped them up.
Season one of The Exorcist was really good. Yeah. Season two, I was like, I don't care about anybody anymore. And it had John Cho. Like, I love him, but... Mm-hmm.
But you Derek, know, to your... Go ahead.
It's not on this list, but you know what horror series has, like, resurrected and come back and possessed other shows is Constantine.
Oh, and
really?
He has lived. What show is he coming on now?
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow, and then he was on Arrow, and then like the animated movies. So he keeps coming back, and there's no stopping him even after that first season cuts short.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But the thing is, like Derek, you just said, a lot of these shows have run their course. That's the point.
Yeah,
a lot of the horror shows have run their course. Where are we right now? If you had to gauge where we are in horror on TV.
I think it's kind of tough because with television now you have to compete. There's this whole vibe of elevated horror in movies where the horror represents something. What does it really mean? What does It Follows really mean? What does Get Out really mean? What is Us? What is it really down to? And so how does that reflect on television? Like, the zombies are like Us and maybe, but you know, how many times can you run from them? And how many times can you get away with not showing zombies? And how brutal can you get? So it might just be like the elevation of it and like finding that new spin that movies have kind of successfully found by like toning down the scare jump elements and trying to be a bit more about like this is, you know, something like if this remains unchecked, this is going to be a real scary thing in your life. Kind of thing.
Which it's kind of ironic because in so many areas, TV has changed the game and become a lot stronger and more cinematic.
Absolutely.
And people are like loving TV and not going to movies as much unless it's major event stuff like, you know, all the big superhero movies and all that. But and that's been something people have talked about in the entertainment world, whereas it sounds like horror is kind of doing the opposite. Would you say?
Yeah. I think it's improving in film.
Yeah.
Rather than on television.
Can I read you what Katie has sent to us?
Yes.
Katie, who is sick, but she is participating. She goes, basically, I am excited for the new Twilight Zone and Sabrina Season 2. Bates Motel ended terribly, she thinks. I liked it. But I don't think horror TV is dead. I think it's evolving and changing. I think zombies are on their way out. I agree. And it's going to be all supernatural, paranormal stuff that gets the focus right now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, though, let's talk about what is doing really well in horror. And that's stuff from streaming services. Things on Netflix and Hulu. Like, The Haunting of Hill House. Stranger Things, of course, still did really well.
Sabrina.
Yeah. And she mentioned the new Twilight Zone. Castle Rock did pretty well on Hulu.
I think it's coming back for season two, yeah.
Yeah.
Black Mirror.
Yeah. And do we count that? It's
pretty horrifying.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Choose Your Own Adventure Black Mirror episode?
Yes. Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch. Yeah. All right. So, but what about, and then, of course, my favorite horror movie?
The Lost Boys TV show.
Is getting a TV reboot, which I'm not super confident in. Just for one thing, it's CW. Nothing against CW, but...
You know those vampires will be hot.
Yes.
And more shirtless saxophone players.
Yeah.
Tyler, is it Tyler Posey? He's the new Michael in the series.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Let me make a note about the top three we have here, and they're all Netflix shows. Stranger mm-hmm. Things, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and The Haunting of Hill House. Mm-hmm. Haunting of Hill House was awesome because it...
Amazing.
At the end of it, both Bree and I were like, why did this horror show give me feels? You know? Like,
yeah.
And they're doing a whole... Kind of like American Horror Story does, like a whole... different story for season two. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to follow the same characters. It'll be
except
a new story.
It seems that they are accomplishing it a whole lot better, if I may
right.
say so.
Sure.
Because they're planning out the whole season and giving it a beginning, middle, and end, whereas American Horror Story, from what I've read, they don't plan out everywhere the season's going to go, and some of it is kind of made up along the way.
Well, that seems ill-advised.
Yeah. Although that's what Stephen King does when he writes a novel.
It feels you very know? Disjointed.
Oh, you can't tell. Yeah. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, we really dug the first season. Like, we started watching it, and we were like, oh, this show's really satanic. And then yeah. we realized that, as you were saying, like, the satanic aspects were, like, really commentary on religion and society and that sort of thing.
Did you see the Christmas episode?
Also,
the Christmas
Satan
episode
is the bad
was
guy.
Bomb, yeah. dude. The Christmas episode was great. What did you say?
I say also Satan is the bad guy.
Satan
still.
Is also yeah. still the bad guy, even in this like satanic witch cult.
Yeah.
As well he should be.
And and Stranger Things,
amazing,
always killing it. You know, season two, people were like, oh, it was a departure from the feeling of season one, but you can't just make season one again. So mm-hmm. you know, it's a trick to try to recapture the magic. But
I felt they ended with the same exact scene from two seasons, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, but it's yeah
okay,
but.
I yeah. loved it, though. I loved it. It's come back July 4th.
Yeah. And that's fun to have it come out during the summer, too, instead of mm-hmm. in October. Mm-hmm. So
they did a little bit of the Walking Dead thing where they're like, let's put the scatter the characters and all that, which was a little different. Like, Walking Dead was better when the main characters were together in Stranger mm-hmm. Things 2. It was still great, but they did kind
of
scatter
I didn't
the
like 11 being
bit.
Gone all of second season.
Yeah. But I did like the Dustin and Steve type stuff.
Dustin
that
Steve.
He's wearing the Dustin hat.
Dustin awesome. And Steve together was great.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that.
That was so much fun.
Anything else about TV before we kind of wrap up? And I just want to – so give us a general feeling, is horror on TV dead or is it still no. killing it?
I agree with Derek that it's evolving. Mm-hmm. And
that was Katie.
That's Katie.
That was Katie. Yeah.
I was a little more negative about TV.
I just took a woman's words and attributed it to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm awful.
Wow.
I agree with Katie.
I wouldn't
Welcome
be surprised
to 2019.
If we...
Katie's probably the smartest one when it comes to horror on TV right now. I'm just going to tell you.
I think we're going to see more like people taking movies, like they'll probably make Nightmare on Elm Street the series mm-hmm. or other stuff. They'll take some older things or they yep. could expand it or something like that further so, or do different things. But I think there needs to be even more scary kind of it. Yeah. I know you were talking mm-hmm. about, but it doesn't feel like, because Stranger Things feels good, like anybody can mm-hmm. watch it, but there's not enough like scary where it's like, oh man, that gave me the chills. Like not mm-hmm. in like a weird mm-hmm. Texas Chainsaw kind of way, but in a way that, you know.
Well, Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, that gave me the chills. Yeah. The chills and the feels.
Especially when you look up like all the Easter eggs and then you go back and you're like, oh my gosh, this is scary.
No, I had to keep rewinding it because he kept like, there is a freaking ghost reflection
they did.
Right there.
Wait, wait, wait. The thing I loved about it was they did have ghosts all through and all the bathroom. Yeah. But you know what they were supposed to do is have the backstory of a ghost at the beginning of every episode. Budget cut that out, but they left the ghosts in.
Nice.
They removed the tombstones, but they left the ghosts.
They left the bodies.
Anyways, we are wrapping up with this last round. What is your prediction? What are we going to see this next year on coming up on TV? Anybody have any predictions for horror? Anything? I think you hit the big one, streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, the streaming services are pouring money into everything now, and horror is going to be no different. They're going to span all of the genres, and they're going to have their... Like, for example, we just finished Umbrella Academy.
Oh, what'd you think about that?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I like it a lot.
I was snoozing through the first episode, so I have to get hooked
It's a bit of a slow burn, but it's a different kind of superhero story.
A lot of streaming shows do that, though. They don't have to grab you as hard with the pilot as actually regular network and cable stuff would need to, because you can just roll right into the next episode right away instead of, I don't know if I want to watch this again next week.
Yeah.
You know?
And you've already got the whole season.
Exactly.
Right there. They don't have to
They
test
know
it.
What they're doing. Yeah.
I think it's not in life support. I think horror TV is around for at least for a few more years. And it's not that it's going away. It's just that we lost a whole lot of shows that have kind of defined the genre. And it's, like you said, it's evolving. It's becoming something new.
Yeah.
I mean, you only have time to really watch a few anyway. So if they make like three really good ones, then watch those.
That's it.
Can I say my wish list?
Yes.
I hope someday, maybe it's me, I would love to see a TV version of Scott Snyder's American Vampire, which is a wonderful comic if you haven't read it.
Wow.
And I think it would make a really good TV show. He wrote it with Stephen King for some of the early issues, but it seems like it would grab the same audience that Walking Dead did it first.
I do love Scott
Speaking
Snyder.
Of that, if you've ever read Joe Hill, his comic Lock and Key, which he's Stephen King's son, but used that name so he could get his own success. But it's got some scary elements, and that I've read is getting developed into a series.
Well, they've been trying to develop that. I think it started. It's starting and sputtering.
What's the premise of Lock and Key?
I'll have to explain after we get off. It's a little complicated. But there's a house and there are keys that do magic things. And,
oh, nice.
But you are. I think it is getting some traction. I think it is going. All right. So that has wrapped up that part of the show. I forgot one thing. Jaws location. Tell us about it real quick.
It was filmed several different locations, as we know, as Martha's Vineyard was kind of the main spot of it. Spielberg really wanted it to be on the ocean, so they really did a lot on there. They did do kind of like the underwater shark cage scene. I think they did that in the tanks at Universal. Ben, do you know for sure on that?
Like, I think you're right.
I think it was there. Yeah. And then what's interesting is they wanted one more jump scare, you know, when the head pokes out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually done in somebody's pool here in L.A. So you could probably look that up online, know the location of that, and be like, this is the house that they filmed that, and it may have been the same house of the editor. I'm not totally sure, but it was edited here at somebody's house.
Let the hunt begin.
Yes.
Let the hunt begin.
Anyways, I didn't want us to end without getting Jaws, one of the biggest movie monsters of all time.
But I've always wanted to go to Martha's Vineyard and check that out, because they have Jaws Fest, all that kind of stuff. So if you're a big Jaws fan, look up Jaws Fest, and they have a lot of that going on. I got to get out there eventually.
There you go.
Thank you guys for tuning in this week to The Scare Guy. Please be following us on YouTube. Be following us on social media. Speaking of which, where can we find everybody?
You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyDerek.
You can find me on Twitter at JT Hummus.
You can find me on any social media at Ben Cleaver. That's BenKlieWer.
And we have a big announcement to make about Ben Cleaver coming up soon. But we can't talk about it yet.
Okay.
Stop talking about it.
All right. I'm wanting to whistle. All right. I don't know what that means. I'm making them salivate.
Luke, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at CheeseOnCouch and also on thescareguy.com.
You can find me at Jim Fry LA. I used to say Con Guy Jim. I'm transitioning over to Jim Fry LA. And be following us at thescareguy.com. Also, our sister site, brother site, what do we call it? TheConGuy.com. We are the scarier site of TheConGuy.com. Thank you guys for showing up tonight, and we will see you guys next time.
You want it all.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.